Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food fun and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. And that is the truth. Today, we've got a serious episode lined up for you. We're sitting down with the talented Imran Teixeira, a chef who's made waves in the kitchen, but who's also making a real impact as an ambassador for the Burnt Chef Project. His journey has taken him from the vibrant culinary scene in Copenhagen, staging at one of the top restaurants in the world, Noma, all the way to the semifinals of Top Chef Canada. His story is complete with ultra highs and deep lows. We'll dive into Imran's experiences on Top Chef, discuss how the pandemic turned the culinary world upside down, and explore his mission to champion mental health awareness in the industry. It's a powerful conversation about resilience, passion, and the challenges we need to see in the culinary landscape. And joining us today in studio is, welcome back to Chef Kevin Raspberry. He's been busy cooking up some delectable dishes that we're excited to talk about. I've got him on film. John has captured some great shots during the photo shoot. So trust me and check out our Instagram to see the video and photos of Chef's dishes. And that would be at Walk and Talk Show. It's a mouthful. I am a professional. And you know, if you can do this, do it. If not, then you know, leave it to us. That's all I'm saying. Kevin, welcome back.
I appreciate y'all for having me back.
My man, I'm happy today. I'm so happy today.
You're happy, I'm happy.
I'm saying. I mean, you did three dishes. We only wanted two. And you're like, no, I'm extra. I do three.
There's always room for more.
Right. So as it turns out, your third was this like a brisket egg roll.
The smoked brisket egg rolls, yes.
Right. Now, you know, you might think, oh, brisket egg roll. No. This brisket egg roll put a smile. It was an ear-to-ear smile. And I actually kind of wanted to just grab the plate, go sit in the corner by myself and be left alone. And that's a true story.
It's that good.
It is. But then again, the pork and the lamb equally as good. Just can't go wrong with it. No, just different. But can you go ahead and explain what you did today?
All right. So first I started out with the grilled lamb ribs with the fig and balsamic reduction, served with the wild mushroom risotto and roasted root vegetables. That one I was a little hesitant about because I don't eat lamb, but everyone in the world eats lamb except me. I'm the minority on that part.
Listen, I'm kind of judging you harshly. I'm judging you harshly. Number one, the dish was great.
Thank you.
The plate, Rack Porcelain, freaking gorgeous. Wait to see the pictures. Where did you get that lamb from?
From Peninsula and my good friend, Kurt.
Kurt, yeah.
Kurt's amazing.
Kurt's all right. He's okay. Don't tell him that. he's an old guy that's his head is too big as it is. So Kurt was a chef in South Florida. And at one time, and he'll be the first one to tell you that he was the number one chef in Florida at one time, ranked in Florida. I should edit that out, but I'm not. I'm not. Kurt, I know you're going to listen to this. Thank you, brother. So the pork.
So it is a stuffed pork tenderloin. Stuffed it with Gruyere cheese, Fontina cheese, caramelized onions, fresh herbs, Nooski's bacon, and apples. Rolled that up, seared it off, and I finished it with the apple demi reduction. And I served that with the celery root Yukon mashed potatoes and sauteed Swiss char.
Chef, I appreciate you coming in, cooking today. We have some awesome footage. Can't wait to get that edited and out. Let's usher Chef Imran onto the show. How you doing, Chef?
I'm not too bad, guys. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. We met at the NAFM show in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, and you guys were terrific over at Burnt Chef Project. You know, you saw that we were we're all working hard, and your team brought over, I don't know, must have been like 6 cases of water for us. Appreciate you very much.
Yeah, of course. Got to stay hydrated, especially in shows like that.
Well, it's nothing but talking. It's speaking and more talking and more speaking, and then whatever the, you know, 4 miles of trade show that you had to walk as well. It's a lot.
Yeah, it definitely takes its toll. And I don't know about you guys. I'm one of those chefs who doesn't always remember to drink water. So it's always nice to get those reminders.
Heard that. Chef, can you share how your culinary journey started and what motivated you to pursue cooking?
It's a passion for me that started at a pretty young age. I was always cooking at home with my family and loved ones since the earliest memories that I can remember. But I guess in the professional realm, my culinary journey started when I was just 14, working as a dishwasher in a small local chain restaurant here in Ontario. It was there that I first got a taste of what the kitchen hustle really was, and I was hooked instantly. And then over the next 15 years, as I worked my way up, starting, of course, in the trenches of the kitchen and learning from the ground up, of course, as we all know, it takes a lot of hard work, but my love for food was always there driving me forward. And growing up in a multicultural kind of household and being now living in Toronto, Canada, one of the most multicultural cities and or countries in the world, I was always lucky to experience a wide range of flavors from a pretty young age. But cooking has always been more than maybe just making a meal for me. It's always been creating that kind of experience, the power of bringing people together around a table, sharing a meal and connecting over good food is always something that always inspired me. So as I've grown in my career, I've always realized that real magic happens when people are enjoying themselves, laughing, bonding over a dish that I think actually tells a story. So that's always woven in with my love for travel. Travel has always been a huge influence for me on my journey. I've been very lucky to work and travel to almost every single part of this world. And there's still a few places that I haven't hit yet, but that is definitely where my kind of two passions align, if you will. So every place I visit always introduces me to new flavors, of course, new ingredients and new ways of cooking. And it's more than just tasting the food. It's about understanding the culture behind it and bringing those influences back to my own kitchen. Travel has always helped me shape my approach to cooking, and it's reinforced the idea that food is this incredible universal language that basically connects people no matter where you're from.
Where are your parents from?
So my dad born and raised in northern India, so in the Punjab. My mom was born in East Africa and raised in the UK. So my parents ended up meeting and getting together in London in the UK, and then they came over to Canada in the early 90s.
I bet your palate is awesome. I bet you have a really unique palate.
It's pretty nuts, especially when you think of the flavor profiles of just northern India, but India in general, how those flavors have migrated to different parts of Africa based on the kind of Indian diaspora. And then my Portuguese roots, the British upbringing, and then me growing up in Canada, it's all these things coming into this beautiful kind of stockpot, if you will, of flavors coming together.
Could you briefly explain the difference between the Northern cuisine and Southern cuisine on the continent?
So the main difference is that the food, to be honest, changes maybe every 50 to 100 kilometers across that country, where you think that the north of India, it's a bit cooler during the winter months. You're having a lot more bread, a lot more kind of rich curries or gravies, if you will. So a lot of robust, heavy food, especially when you think of the kind of farming community that are up there. Compared down to the south, especially where a lot of my ancestors come from, the coastal region of Goa, you're finding a lot more influences from the Portuguese settlers that came down there, a lot more fresh seafood, lighter flavors, but a lot more maybe heat and spice coming from the chilies, some vinegar notes, and maybe less bread and more rice coming in. So it's a very diverse country in general when it comes down to the food, the dialect, you name it. So traveling through that country, basically every couple hours you go, no matter which direction you're going into, it's a different cuisine almost every stop along the way.
Is there a specific dish that kind of transcends the entire continent?
Oof, that's definitely a hard question, because you've seen different variations of dishes or plays on, I guess, the Indian kind of flavor profiles. Travel around the world, there's the idea of butter chicken or tikka masala and whatnot. But I think it's maybe I'm a little biased because my roots come from this part of the country. But seeing how the Goan flavors have really come into play in different parts of the south, especially Goa, and seeing how that kind of inspiration has come into the alcohol production, the use of vinegar in the cooking and whatnot, which we might see as maybe common practices out here in the West, but in that part of the world, or at least in India, you're not seeing those kind of influences in different parts of the country. It's more predominantly from my experiences in that style of cooking. So I would love to see those kind of techniques that have been in part of that world for hundreds, if not thousands of years, but it's just to that kind of certain region. So styles that we've grown up with, or techniques that we've grown up with knowing, but really hone into the how special that type of cuisine is in that exact area.
Staging at Noma, my goodness. I mean, that's top ranked restaurant in the world. How did that shape your culinary skills and your perspective on food?
Working at Noma in general was a unique experience, but the main thing was the fact that I was there during the pandemic. So it came at a time when the world was facing so much uncertainty. It really pushed everyone there to adapt in ways I hadn't really anticipated. The challenges we faced were definitely humbling, and it reminded me of the resilience required in this industry. It wasn't just about, of course, going over there to refine technical skills. It really deepened my understanding of different ingredients, seasonality, sustainability, and just maybe a different kind of perspective based on the landscape that we had to work with. But for me, one of the most unexpected experiences was when I had the opportunity to make staff meal. So all the interns there had to pair up with another one, and we would make staff meal for 1 week straight. I ended up preparing Indian food with this young chef from New Delhi, and it was a natural connection to my own background. I hadn't fully explored that part of myself in professional cooking at that point, but the team really enjoyed the flavors and the dishes that we were putting out. And it gave me a deeper appreciation for how those flavors have shaped my culinary journey. And to be honest, based on my time in Copenhagen, there weren't many good Indian restaurants, if any, to begin with. So us offering up those flavors definitely hit home with a lot of people. And again, gave me a great appreciation for where I came from. So it helped me really realize the importance of embracing your own roots, even when you're working in a global environment like a kitchen. The thing about being there during the pandemic was the chance to work alongside the top chefs from around the world. It was a challenging time for us all, but seeing how they approached the situation with resilience and creativity was definitely inspiring. It reminded me how much chefs can contribute beyond the kitchen, whether it's obviously through the food we were making or the social impact we can have. It gave me a fresh perspective on the role chefs can play both in the culinary world, but in society at large.
Chef, a lot of our listeners are foodies. They love everything mm-hmm. about the industry, the recipes, the banter that happens with inside of a restaurant, but they may not know some of the terminology. Briefly explain what a stage is.
Yeah. So stage, I guess, is more pigeonholed into the culinary world based on the terminology, but it is basically an internship. So an unpaid work term where you're going in to earn, ideally from the best of the best, to gain work experience. So So normally, I would assume most restaurants would take in that kind of an internship if the opportunity arose. But normally, the best restaurants are bringing in this kind of, I guess, free labor, if that's how you're going to look at it. But the opportunity for chefs young in their career or maybe looking just to develop themselves as they go throughout to learn some of the best kind of skill sets, if that's based on organization, structure, cooking techniques, you name it. So for some of us, we don't have the opportunity or maybe the visas or the chances to work and travel around the world. Staging is normally off the back of the individual. So I had to save up a lot of money to have that experience. I definitely don't come from a background where I can just be traveling and staging around the world on the regular. So it was definitely a once in a lifetime experience for me and for a lot of the people that go after those kind of opportunities.
The fact that you were allowed to cook family meals is a big deal. And I don't know if everyone listening would understand the weight of that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand, right? Because like we're working day to day in the restaurant, if you will, for the amazing guests that are coming into the restaurant. And yes, that is daunting. We're cooking about a 20, 25 course blind tasting menu on the regs. But here we're cooking staff meal for the chefs that are putting out that operation. So you're cooking for, again, some of the best chefs in the world, cooking for Renee and the team. And that's the back of house, the front of house, and some of the other kind of moving admin teams. So give or take 80 to 100 people, and that's two meals a day that we're cooking a staff meal for. So it's a hard gig in its own, and making sure that, one, that they're well-fed, they're well-nourished, but you want to make sure that your flavors definitely hit.
How did the experience of Top Chef Canada and NOMA, what's the parallel there? They're very different experiences, and in their own right, both amazing.
Yeah, definitely wild, wild opportunities, because they're, I wouldn't say they're at opposite ends of the spectrum by any means. They're both at the same end when it comes to the pressure and the intensity and some of the anxiety it can induce, but they're completely different worlds where at least you're working within a team when you're at NOMA. You're in this beautiful environment, I think one of the most beautiful restaurants in the world as well. So you're working in this amazing team, in this amazing family, if you want to call it that. But in Top Chef, you're by yourself. You're in a hotel room by yourself. I didn't have my phone, my laptop. I wasn't able to connect with the outside world per se. So it was a lot of internalization. A lot of the stuff I had to go through by myself. You didn't have the same kind of support mechanisms, right? You don't have your family, your friends, your loved ones with you to really lean on in those times. And being in those rooms of high, immense pressure where you're maybe on set for, say, 15, 16, 18 hours a day, you're maybe only cooking for an hour or two, but it feels like you just worked a 20-hour service. It's the hours or the pressure really drains you. So it is very, I guess, you look at it from like a back end, if you feel the same way after you're doing a long service, but like at the bottom line is you're only cooking for an hour or two, but it just drains you because of the pressure and everything. Seeing the studio light, seeing all the different moving parts and the moving bodies behind the scene. It's not just the competitors you see on screen. There's probably another 50 to 100 people watching and hearing every single move. So it's a lot of pressure.
Chef, I have a question. What keeps you motivated to keep going? And the only reason I ask that question, because I feel like every chef throughout their career has those moments where they just want to quit and give up and they're just done with the industry. So what keeps you going?
I think it's a passion thing. A big part of it comes from, I guess, resiliency and maybe my past or my childhood growing up in playing like competitive sports, right? It's just that tenacity of competition. If it's in competition with yourself or you working as a team against other businesses, at the end of the day, it's that kind of a resiliency, I think, is beautiful, because no matter what, if we've seen it through COVID with business, if we've seen it through high level sports, no matter what, it's about actually being able to bounce back from things that normally knock you down, right? So seeing what COVID did to me, what it did to the industry, different other trials and tribulations I've had throughout my career, especially losing Top Chef. I was on Chopped years before as well, and I lost that episode as well. So it's just taking those things as learning opportunities and knowing that when I do win, because I think it's inevitable, everybody does win as long as you're willing to put in that time. I just know by the time I do win, it's going to be big. Okay. If I can lose Chopped and come back, if I can lose Top Chef and come back, I know the opportunity when the stars and the universe aligns, that W I take will be 10 times bigger. It's just about staying true to that kind of mission.
I know you mentioned like you lost these competitions. Do you look at them as losses or are you just gaining more knowledge, more insight? So for the next opportunity, it's like you already know what to expect or what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's it. So sometimes it is maybe what they're looking for, or it's things about myself. For me, it's always a learning experience. Everyone's saying, oh, you took that L, and I got a lot of that kind of feedback based on these competitions and whatnot. And when I think of L, all I think is about learning experiences, learning how these competitions are run, learning how food TV works, or more so learning about who I am, what I want, and how I want to represent myself, right? Because yeah, maybe I could have done stuff differently that would have maybe been more in line for what the judges were looking for. And I could have maybe done a bit better. But at the end of the day, I represented myself well. And that's how I wanted to put myself out there for the most part. And that's who and what I'm going to live with at the end of the day.
Man, I love that. There's a lot of connections between the stresses of the stage, the stresses of being on a network TV show, and also what we all had to deal with in COVID. We're about 5 years post-pandemic, and we're still talking about how it affected the industry and kind of where we are today. Chef, did the pandemic guide you towards this relationship with the Burnt Chef Project?
Yeah, absolutely, massively. The pandemic had a profound impact on my life, both professionally and personally. On a personal level, it was time of obviously deep reflection and adjustment. I lost my direction and, more importantly, my main source of income, as many of us had, right? Which led me to some pretty dark places. The restaurant closures and the uncertainty around the culinary industry made me question a lot about my future. As a chef, I had to pivot my life and really rethink everything I thought I knew about my career. The pandemic revealed just how fragile our livelihoods are, especially in our industry. So many chefs and hospitality workers were left in limbo without a clear path forward. It's a difficult time, and there are definitely moments when I felt lost, unsure how to really rebuild. But in those dark moments, I also found clarity. I realized the power of innovation and community, and it really helped remind me how essential it is to stay connected, not just to our customers, but to our peers and our teams as well. The experience ultimately taught me resilience and adaptability and the importance of leaning on the support of others when those things feel very, very uncertain. And that brought me away, or brought me towards the Burnt Chef Project. I found myself struggling with the mental toll of the pandemic, the loss of sense of direction and whatnot. But it was during this time I stumbled upon the Burnt Chef podcast, where Chris, the founder, was interviewing some of the top chefs in the UK. They were sharing how they were taking care of their teams, putting mental health and well-being at the forefront of their businesses, and how they were navigating the difficulties of working in such high-pressure environments. Listening to those conversations felt like almost like a light in the darkness for me. It was the first time I heard people speak so openly about the struggles I was facing. And I realized that I wasn't alone. That was a turning point for me. And I knew I wanted to get involved with the project because I saw the importance of bringing mental health to the forefront of the conversation, especially in an industry that often prioritizes everything else over the well-being of its people. Being an ambassador means more than just supporting a cause. It means actively advocating for the chefs and hospitality workers who need help but may not know where to turn. It's about raising awareness and providing the resources and the support that we all deserve. And I find that mental health is just as important as any other technical skill we develop in the kitchen. And I'm very proud to be part of a movement that's working to change that narrative.
Chef, you've been in the industry for about 20 years. A program like Burnt Chef Project, is this something that you'd be able to bring to your team, your staff, and help spread that word?
Absolutely. I mean, because I feel like, especially like with mental health and everything like that, we don't discuss it enough. And I feel like, especially like being in this industry, we go through every emotion just mm-hmm. to provide for everyone. Like we get satisfaction out of offering a service to everyone, making sure they're happy and everything. Cause like he alluded to earlier, food brings everyone together. Good times, bad times, all that. But it's like, it takes a toll on us mentally to where like we're just broken. That's why I kind of mentioned earlier about wanting to give up and stuff like that, because we all go through it.
So if you're in the kitchen and you're a chef or you're an aspiring chef, You're a creative. You want to please people. You want to make something and build it, create it, somebody enjoy it. And that's where the joy comes from. Obviously, you need to make a living, right? So there's that side of it. But the reality is you're doing it because you want somebody to enjoy your creation. Well, you know, John's a photographer. Same situation. We're all in the same canoe, if you will. And it's a struggle because not everybody embraces what you do. When you drizzle the long hours, the volatile workspace, your bosses, the restaurant owners, the ones that aren't, you know, on the up and up, it's an incredibly stressful way of life. Rewarding, sure. Stressful, undoubtedly. I'm looking at this Burn Chef project, who I only recently came across during the fires in California. We're really blessed to have Chef on the call with us, and we got to meet, you know, Chris, the owner of the of this project, and a bunch of the others who were, you know, on the team, and they're all awesome. I met about four of them while we were at the NAFM show, and every single one of them had this really positive, energized spirit. And each one of them has a story, and it's an interesting story. So I just wanted to make it clear, Chef Imran, if you wanted to do a 30,000 foot explanation of who Burn Chef Project is, I would urge you to do so now, please.
Yeah. So it's for those who might not know what the Burn Chef mission is, if you will, it's a mission to basically break the stigma of mental health within the culinary world. If that's front of house, back of house, you name it, we're all, it's that classic thing of one team, one dream, right? We're all in it together. And it's really about focusing on some of the biggest challenges within the culinary industry today, which is the stigma around mental health. As you mentioned, Carl, us as professionals, like we're often expected to push through this kind of fatigue, stress, and pressure without addressing the emotional and psychological toll it takes. And we're often treated like rock stars, and we've seen that in food media, right? Expected to perform on command. But the truth is, and this is what we believe, is that chefs are more like athletes. And just like athletes, we need to train, recover, and prioritize our physical and mental health and well-being if we want to sustain a long, healthy career. So with the demands that this industry offers up, we want to make sure that we're offering up support. If that is based awareness through the podcast, we've been in over 150 schools worldwide talking to up and coming culinary students as well. We've worked with some of the biggest organizations as well, bringing this kind of support to the people. If it's around the clock, 24/7 therapists needed as a crisis hotline, you name it, we're trying to bring this free to the people. So for those who are in crises or need some kind of support, we are there to take care of it. And we want to make sure that this industry as a whole is a place for a lot more people to come into, and people can actually be building a sustainable life around in the future.
What do you believe the number one support mechanism is for industry people?
Having that kind of peer support. Just having the open conversations. Because I think, yes, it's amazing that we have the crisis hotline. We work with therapists and different kind of like organizations around the world. But that for me is closer to the end. Like that is our last resort, is that I want people thinking that they have to hit a crisis hotline. It is nice that we have it there, but I want to make sure that we are addressing different things before it's even a problem of that stature, if you will. So I want people to be able to freely talk to their colleagues, to their loved ones, to their higher ups, to the organization as a whole about maybe some of the problems that they're having. So unfortunately, or just so we are not losing any more lives. I've had friends, I've had colleagues, we've seen top Michelin star chefs around the world lose their battle with their own mental health, and that has cost their lives. And I'm not willing to ever see that happen again. And I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that we're creating environments for these things to be discussed so we don't lose any more of the beautiful talent that we have already.
Chefs, I'm going to ask both of you this same question. What are some of the biggest challenges you see in the culinary industry today, especially regarding our well-being and mental health?
That's like a two-part question. Well, two-part answer. I'm sorry. The first thing that I see is everyone wants it, but they don't want to put the work in for it. So you have someone that approaches you that wants to put the work in for it. But once you give them that work, they realize it will drain you. It will drain you, especially depending on who you have teaching you and stuff like that. Some chefs are not as nice as other chefs. So they may be aggressive in their way in teaching and stuff like that, just to see if you want to do this. Because I tell literally everyone this industry is not built for everyone. So I hate to say this, but it's like only the strong survive. And being in this industry, it will test every emotion that you have. So being that it's testing every emotion, I've seen cooks, like there's this stigma, no crying in the walk-in. I've seen plenty of cooks crying in the walk-in and stuff like that. I get it. Like you have to go through that just to see if you want to do this. And being if this is for you, then you'll push through. But at the same time, as men, we don't talk about our mental health. Like it's a common, like they say, we don't go to the doctor and get our regular checkups and everything like that. But it's something that's prevalent and it needs to be addressed. So I feel like those are kind of the issues that we do face with that. But at the same time, I feel like if you have a good support team around you that wants to uplift and build you up, then it shouldn't be an issue to want to talk about that and everything like that. And it took me a while to get to that point to where I can openly discuss what issues and challenges I have. Prior to that, I would just shut down. I'm going to be 100% honest. Mm-hmm. I would just shut down, not say nothing. Because like you said, we're built like athletes, like we're supposed to perform. No one cares what we got going on outside of work or anything like that. Like if we're here, we're here to provide a service.
You know, let me jump in here for 1 second before Imran gives his answer. I'm torn on this part of it because, you know, I've been in positions for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years of hiring and firing and being in charge of teams. The people who do right by me, I will sit and listen and aid in any way that I can when they earn that from me. And I don't mean to sound, you know, high and mighty. That is not what I'm aiming for. We don't have time for people who don't put the effort in. If you're not serious about whatever role you have in the organization, I don't want to hear about the challenges that you have. I frankly don't care. Now, there's the humanity side of me that says, well, I mean, of course I care. But I don't have the time to really invest myself into that individual. I also feel that you should be walking over some hot coals just for the purpose of learning that that's what life is. I don't think that we should be subject to, you know, poor management or, you know, ownership that are overly greedy and, you know, a lot of the things that we actually encounter or, you know, dare I say the... You know, the restaurant industry has always had this element of sexual tension, if you will, between, you know, hostesses and servers and back of the house. And it's there. You're putting a bunch of kids together to run a restaurant. And that's, you know, but I don't know if it's different back then as it is today. I feel like everybody needs to pull their pants up a little bit. With that said, I feel like also we need to kind of like help those who really want to learn, grow, and who actually need the help. Does that make sense? Am I crazy?
It makes sense. In my opinion, it makes sense. Because it's like someone would say they want it, but it's like, it's kind of bad to say this. Like you can look at someone and be like, they're not built for this. So then you test mm-hmm. them and you challenge them. Like you give them a little, see what they do. Throw a little bit more at them and see if, okay, if they're still receptive to it, then okay. They slowly start to gain your trust. But it's like other people, they want what you have, but they don't want to do what you did to get it. It's like, okay, yeah, you see where I'm at right now, present day. You don't see the 12, 13, 14, 15 hour shifts, me missing every holiday with my family to get to this point. They just see where you're at right now. And they don't know what it takes to get to that moment. But it's like, It takes a lot of grind, a lot of effort.
Should you take a six pan to the face? No, you shouldn't. But I mean, but when you do, don't tell me that's not going to make you. That's going to bring you to another level, even though it's wrong and it's, you know, it's really ignorant on the person who's acting that way. Clearly, Imran, am I crazy?
There's a line, Carl. Right? Like it's important to foster. And I think like back to your original question, I think one of the biggest things that we're missing right now is true leadership or mentorship. Right? It's important to remember that this industry is tough. Like Kevin said, it's hard work, and it's still and that's part of the job. We shouldn't be used or abused in that process, and that's the line, right? We have to understand that it is hard work, there is dedication, there is long hours. And from my perspective, especially being in the mental health space, if you will, it's ensuring that we're not using mental health as an excuse to avoid putting in the effort required in this demanding industry. I want to make sure that people are not getting taken advantage of in a negative way. Of course, when it comes down to racism, sexual harassment, and the wide array of problems, we're trying to eradicate those and create healthy places for us to talk about making these work environments better, but I'm not trying to ever use this as a way to get out of hard work. And that is what this industry is made out of. And that's the thing, mentorship is key, and easing that kind of pressure and providing emotional support while a strong network that actually encourages this kind of open communication. We need to create a work culture that prioritizes work-life balance. With that kind of flexible scheduling and time off, it just helps up and it helps prevent that burnout. And I feel it's time to prioritize the health of people who actually want to work in this industry, work hard, and make this industry thrive.
Well said. What are your hopes for the future of the Burnt Chef Project, and how do you envision its growth and impact in the culinary world?
Well, first off, it was very exciting to be at NAFM and to be in Atlanta with the American ambassadors and obviously with Chris, the founder. And it's just great to see how much has grown within 5-6 years. And for the future of the project, my hope is that it continues to break down these barriers in the culinary world, offering real support for chefs at all levels. If it's like, mental health should be part of the conversation in kitchens everywhere. But as the project grows, I envision it offering more training, more resources, and real solutions for those that are struggling.
All right. So one thing I want to say, and it's a piece of advice literally my daughter just gave me 2 weeks ago. And I will give this advice to any person trying to come up in the culinary industry. Do not lose yourself trying to grow yourself. Because literally sometimes we'll get in a certain mood to where we're trying to do something that's not us. Stay true to yourself and everything will come out.
Chef Imran, same question. What advice would you offer aspiring chefs about navigating the industry while prioritizing their mental health?
Something I love to speak on, man, because it is a very passionate subject for me. For aspiring chefs, I would probably tell them that passion is key. I'm sure you both can attest to it. Passion is key, but so is your well-being. The long hours, the intense pressure that we've talked about can take a serious toll without that kind of balance. To stay physically strong by incorporating fitness to prevent that kind of injury and boost your energy, prioritizing your mental health without coping, like with the right coping strategies like meditation, mentorship, professional support, all different notions that we've touched on, right? But emotionally, you got to build strong relationships and remember that life outside the kitchen matters just as much. If it's your wife, it's your kids, your husband, it's really about making time for both. Taking care of yourself is just as important. It's essential for a lasting, fulfilling career. And finally, I want people to really empower themselves and learn to set boundaries. It's easy to give everything in the kitchen, but rest and self-care are key to long-term success. Prioritize your health so you can actually continue doing what you love for years to come. Because I truly believe we cannot expect the hospitality industry to thrive if the chefs and the people within don't thrive themselves.
All right, guys, I just want to thank you both for being on the show today. John, you did amazing as usual. Imran, how do we find you and how do we follow the Burnt Chef Project?
Yeah, absolute honor to be here today with you guys. You guys can find me on socials at just through my name, Imran.Texera. And I'd push all of you guys to follow the Burn Chef Project at The Burn Chef Project on Instagram and most social channels.
You can find me at Mama Jean Seasonings on Instagram, on Facebook, and you can find me on LinkedIn at Kevin Raspberry.
Where are you working, Kevin?
At the Grove of Chilago. So I want to give a huge shout out to the Grove of Chilago, Starling Living, for allowing me to come out here and be with Carl and John.
Awesome. Listen, coming up next for the Burn Chef Project is Colleen, hopefully Chris, and definitely Jamie. Man, you guys are awesome. I want to thank you all again. And John, I want my pictures like ASAP, okay? And we are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.